Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. We're going to be talking about a subject today that I know has a lot of fascination for many people, especially if you have an interest in Native American culture. But this is something I have found that as a topic that is associated not just with Native American cultures, but many cultures throughout history and throughout the world at this time are very interested in it. What is it? It's power animal meditations. My guest is Nikki Scully, and Nikki is located in Oregon. Welcome to the show, Nikki.
Thank you, Donna.
I was really fascinated with the fact that you originally were in California, which is my home turf as well, and then you found that you had a shift and a change in your life because you met Rock Scully, who was in the manager of the Grateful Dead. And you said you got involved in music and all kinds of things. Then in 1969, you were introduced to shamanic healing in the Native American tradition, and you're still very much involved in the study and development of that. But you have had some intriguing adventures that took you to Egypt, and you eventually, after traveling in many places, you decided you were going to end up in the beautiful area in the Pacific Northwest. Eugene, Oregon is absolutely gorgeous. And you've done all kinds of studies related to Reiki and healing on various levels. Nikki, when you started out on this journey, I mean, it's really fascinating to know if someone that's involved with the Grateful Dead ends up in Reiki.
Actually, Reiki was the beginning of my healing work. I spent 22 years creating a form called Alchemical Healing.
Ah.
And that book was published in 2004. That's really more my life's work. But yes, it definitely was an interesting road from rock and roll to healing.
That's true. And there were many areas, I'm sure, stimulated by the music and the various people that you met in that journey. It's always intriguing to see how we'll start out with our foot on one path and we find we end up with all these little side journeys that enable us to come into really who and what we are. With the book here that we have, now, this is not the first time that power animal meditations has been around. This is something that for so many people, it's so intriguing, the power animal image, and usually when you first hear about it, and I'm saying usually, it's in association with vision quests that we hear a great deal about, and people will find out about their totems. Give us your perspective. How did you develop an interest in power animals, and what caused you to feel like being a part of this book and being involved with this book is so important?
Well, it was interesting. I originally published Power Animal Meditations as the Golden Cauldron in 1991, and it was in 2002 that it was redone, added to another section, and then about seven or eight more journeys put in, and it was given a new face and a new cover. As a hermeticist, as a student of the mysteries, the Egyptian mysteries through Thoth, the Egyptian god of wisdom that is sort of the overseer of all my work, as soon as I began to digest what I learned from my teachers and bring forth my own work, the animals were the first to come in. And it was much later in studying hermetics that I noticed that seems to be one of the pathways into the mysteries, that is classically one of the first things that you discover. And that's probably because the spirit of all living beings has intelligence, and that intelligence exists in the field of that species where all the information and knowledge is gathered. And we tend as humans to be a bit chauvinistic and think that we're the smartest things on the planet, and if to the point our arrogance is such that if people don't speak our language, we often don't give them credit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get into studying the animals as totems, you realize that there's a way of communion, a way of listening and tuning in to the intelligence of every species, and to receive information and a completely different worldview that can be a gift of knowledge, a gift of healing, a gift of power that you don't necessarily as an individual possess. But in relationship, if you have Bear as an ally, then you have that strength. You have the power of Bear. It's actually not that different than knowing people who have different gifts. Like, I haven't had to study astrology, and I have friends that have studied astrology, so I access that through my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another way of reaching beyond our species for knowledge and information and power.
I believe that within every species there is so much to learn from. And as you have said, there's intelligence within every form of life that there is, that they cannot speak our language. And I'm repeating what you've said because I think it bears repeating. It's not unlike dealing with a child. Children, you work with, but each and every one of them is so unique. They have to learn our language. And fortunately, they have the muscles, they have everything there that enable them with right exposure to be able to communicate with us, but it takes some time. The different species may or may not have a voice, but I've got two Scottish Terriers, and I guarantee you, they may not speak English as I do, but they communicate very, very clearly and audibly. And we have one Terrier who is extremely intelligent and is very articulate in the way that he communicates in his own verbal manner. So every creature does have that capability, and it is the wise person that recognizes that they can learn if they're willing to observe and they're willing to listen and to take time to pay attention. They are going to be able to hear a lot of things. I have yet to meet anyone that has a deep involvement with animals that do not say or feel, express in some way or manner the very thing that I've just expressed.
And just as your individual terriers have obvious intelligence and gifts that they bring to you, they are part of a collective of their species that would have a governing totemic ally in the spirit world that would speak for all terriers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that we're connecting to when we're working totemically, rather than any individual bear or wild bear in the wild. It is the totem, it is the collective field, the morphogenic field of that species that we perceive symbolically in the form of a spirit bear that we interact with. And consequently, we have access to all knowledge of all of the bear tribe.
Now, this is something that's been incorporated in many areas of mythology throughout cultural history in the world. And in the Native American cultures, frequently there is this very, very strong awareness that the connection with living things on this planet is very, very important, because they are the reason that you're able to survive. They provide food, clothing, they provide information, And when we're willing to learn from them, they allow the individual to become more in harmony with whatever environment they are in. So it's a fascinating phenomena, and I think we are universally being able to understand some of these old concepts. And it is wisdom, as all wisdom is, cloaked sometimes within a form that people will say, oh, well, my goodness, this is all mythology. But within all mythology, there are grains of truth. And that's how the grains of truth survive, so that they can sprout and they can have form in a way and manner that can benefit us if we're willing to listen. Now, you talk about the observations of nature. We can learn about ourselves and our relationship to what we are a part of. When we look at a lot of the global consciousness today, more and more people are aware of this. For someone who is associated with the Native American culture, this is going to be much more comfortable, perhaps, than for someone who is not. But here you are. You were not associated with them. Yet you evolved into this environment, and you have been very at home with it. How has this changed your life?
Well, I just think it gives me a broader range of knowledge and experience to draw from. And I want to point out that, you know, we inhabit Turtle Island. We inhabit this continent that was lived in by the natives, who lived very closely with the earth and in communion with nature. They had clans. They honored animal as some cultures or traditions honor deities. I mean, in a sense, their pantheon is the entire kingdom of nature. But you can see that all over the world. I mean, if you look at the Hindu tradition, for example, you have Ganesh, you have Durga, you have all these deities that are associated with animal forms.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly when you look at Egypt, they have a very zoomorphic pantheon where they actually put the heads of animals on human bodies to represent the archetypal principles that these deities are showing us. And so it's not really confined to Native Americans or even to what we think of as primitive societies.
China is a very good example of that. You'll find in much of the Chinese culture, historically, they have adopted for hundreds, thousands of years, the identification with many, many different creatures that were in their environment and their value and what they represented to them. So, I mean, this is something, again, like you just mentioned, it's global.
And our own government uses the eagle to represent our nation.
Right. Now, when we're talking about this, the power totems that you have in here, powerful animal totems, you have them also accompanying, like with a meditation. And you give some very good information so that people can find out about it. How did you learn about your animal totem? And what was the process you went through? And what is your animal totem?
Well, I would have to say that there are 50 animal totems represented in this book. And that's 50 of the totems that I'm associated with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a person necessarily has one animal totem. I think that's a misconception that's very limiting. I think we may have proclivities toward one or another that tend to be around us for parts of our lives or even our whole lives that we have particular affinity with. But that doesn't mean that the whole kingdom of nature is not accessible to us. And because each has a different gift, or qualities and attributes that they bring, they're all useful to make relationships with.
So I agree.
What happened with the book is that they they started coming to me. They simply started appearing through my students, interestingly enough, not directly to me. I would be teaching a class, and I remember one instance where I was taking people on a journey, and at the end of it, a woman raised her hand and said, "Nikki, I really tried to go on this journey, but there were three crocodiles that were upright and standing in the way of my progressing until I told them that I would tell you that they were wanting to connect with you." And that was my cue to get next to a computer and say, "Okay, let's go see what they want." And then they would come forward and say, "We want to participate in what you're doing, and this is the gift of the teaching we would like to give to those people who choose to connect with us." And then they would convey the meditation to me that would bring the reader into the domain of that totem, and they would be able to then develop their own relationship once the introduction is made through the meditation.
You have so many different aspects of nature, including the tree, the rose, but let's start off with the very first one you have in your book, the vulture and the crone. And I love the term crone because it brings so many different pictures into the mind when you mention it. And usually the first one is an archetype of a very old, doddering female that can barely speak, function, all of her teeth are missing, and she's humped over, you know, like she's never going to straighten up in her entire life of whatever's remaining. But that's not a crone. A crone is a honorable term, and it is, in your book as you describe it, the wise old female aspect of the self that's associated with the third eye, which represents psychic development and intuition. And it is that wiser part of ourself that, if we're open to it, will communicate with us. And this goes for men or for women.
There's so much ageism in our society that we've really lost respect for our elders. On just generally speaking, often they're just sort of relegated to the background and not utilized in the way that when it really took a village to raise children, that they were honored. And we really need to get back to that and remember that the elders really do have the experience and wisdom. And as I'm coming more into my elderhood, I'm 65 now, and definitely watching my body start to discorporate, I realize that the stature really isn't in the way I hold my body as much as it's the way that I can articulate the experience and wisdom I've gained through my 65 years. But when we connect to the crone or the elder within us, we're connecting to that part of us that isn't just 15, 30, 40, or 65 years old, but eons in our matrilineal DNA, and that elder spirit being has the qualities and the knowledge that we need for our own survival.
I agree with that. Let's talk about an animal that I don't know that many would think of as a totem, the hippopotamus. I think that in Egyptian literature, it has a very strong holding position. In African life, it has a very powerful symbology. But I was fascinated, and this is throughout your book with different animals, you bring up different points of information that someone may not have any idea about. Now, in Egypt, they used to be quite abundant there, but they've disappeared, along with some other things that have disappeared through
lots
the centuries.
Of things.
But the hippopotamus hide, the skin of a hippo, I had no idea that if once they died and they were skinned, it takes 6 years to tan that hide. It's so hard that the hide can cut a diamond. And I chuckled because you said in Mesopotamia, hippo hides were used to make chastity belts, and that just made me roar. Because I thought they must have had a double of a time trying to cut one out, much less making somebody wear one.
I had a really good time with the research for the introductions, because the totems gifted their journeys to me, but the context I had to go out and find what mm-hmm. the different traditions and cultures thought about all these different allies and how they used them, because they generally gave a singular attribute for that meditation. But each of these meditations is a doorway or an introduction to that totem, and once that introduction is made, you can go back again and again and have a completely different experience
mm-hmm.
and learn something new. But the other thing that's really interesting about the way it's set up in the book is that they're listed as situationally relevant. So if you wanted an ally for healing, there's a whole section for healing allies. If you wanted journeys for transformation, there's a whole series of allies that can engage in that process. The same for awakening and for just exploration. And so if you're dealing with fear, there's a particular ally. If you're dealing with grief, there's an ally. If you need to ground or make choices or looking for protection. So it's a very useful resource in that way, and it's a really fun way to advance yourself in terms of your nourishing your spiritual nature and nourishing yourself on all levels, actually.
You brought up the aspect of the various conditions or situations you might be involved with, and you have the Persian leopard here. You have something on the snow leopard, but the Persian leopard was associated with grief. And this used to be a subspecies of leopard, according to your material here, that was throughout central and northern Iran. Why was the Persian leopard chosen to represent grief?
First of all, I didn't choose any of these. I never went after a totem. They showed up, presented themselves, and presented their what they were offering into the compendium. What I assumed was the reason that the Persian leopard was this particular one that came for grief is because there's so few left on the planet that they are facing extinction, and in that there must be a tremendous amount of grief. We don't think of animals in terms of emotion.
And they definitely have them.
Who's to say? I mean, except for in the case of elephants, it's pretty well proven, and certain other species where they really researched it.
Well, there's a condition, well, with wolves, they have in their research found that there's very, very strong bonding and emotions and caring among those animals. And among just about any species, if you watch it, even with birds, you will see that there are those bonds, that they may express it in a different format. We use a language to express ourselves. They demonstrate in different ways.
Exactly.
And so to say it's absolutely like we try to articulate it with our language, I cannot say that that's the case. But I can say in my own observations of animals, whether they've been snakes, whether they have been birds, whether they have been any species, there is something that goes on that is there that creates bonds, that creates a communication factor. There's a lot that, just because we are where we are far from knowing it all. And when we take the time to listen, then we will find, when we take the time to observe, then we will find that there is going to be that harmony. Now, you have a number of meditations, a number of processes with each one of these totems that you mention in your book. And when someone if they were to get your book and they said, gee whiz, some of these animals, these flowers, these plants, these birds, I really resonate with. Should I focus on that first? What would someone do in their own privacy of self to be able to connect with the totem? Would you recommend they just choose whatever resonates out of the book?
Oh,
what
absolutely.
Process would you recommend?
Or else they look for a situation they're dealing with and choose the one that can help them specifically with that. But this book is meant as a resource guide. It's not meant to be read cover to cover, but to be savored and experienced. And every time you do one of these meditations, it's like going to sit down and have tea with a friend.
I like that approach.
You take that time and you allow yourself the full experience, and it can be quite profound.
You have Grandmother Spider in your book, and you bring out the point that the spider has often been revered by many indigenous cultures as the weaver of the universe. You bring up the information that the Lakota Indians Lakota, that they had a special name. That's what did you say it was again?
Iktome.
And, of course, the web of the spider, the silk, is as strong as steel. And it is just amazing what this particular creature can do. But it is associated with the world of illusion.
Well, I think that the thing that is the most profound, in my opinion, of the journey with the spider is that spider can help us weave and unweave creation. It's a very Akashic or spirit being that is very it's very much of the earth. You can barely go 10 feet on any part of the planet without encountering one, I'm told, even if you can't see them because some of them are so small. But they look and feel so different from us that they're just like creatures from another planet. But they have a very universal sense to me, and they teach us some very universal lessons. They're also incredible healing allies. I will use, in my alchemical healing work, I will use spider, will call on spider to stitch up wounds and to splint areas that are injured by weaving a web around it to hold it in place while it heals. And their webs have antibiotic properties. And so these things lend themselves for use in the spirit world, because if I'm doing a healing and I'm calling on Iktome or the spider, that spider comes in and will have a physical impact on the person that I'm working with. And that person can generally perceive and feel that process as it's happening.
Well, you can tell that Nikki Scully has a lot of information on animals, and we've just touched on a few that are in her wonderful book, Power Animal Meditations. She also has done a lot of different types of recordings, and you can go to her website, shamanicjourneys.com. That's shamanicjourneys.com. And Nikki, N-I-C-K-I is the spelling of her first name. Scully, S-C-U-L-L-Y, is her last name. But I think you'll find that her book, Power Animal Meditations, is something that is intriguing to read, informative, but it's something that you might want to try as a tool to become more aware of your connection with life, with these wonderful creatures we share the earth with. And who knows how it can influence you. Nikki, I want to thank you for being my guest today. Your book, the cover, is just absolutely spectacular. The art in it is wonderful. And I'm so delighted that you were able to be my guest today.
Thank you so much, Donna. It was a pleasure.
Thank you again, Nikki. Power Animal Meditations, Nikki Scully. Go to her website, shamanicjourneys.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, I'd be happy to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers. You can call in to 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener and you would like to call in to chat with me, all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial, and then I'll give you the information that I perceive. I consider myself an information resource, and so here you have an opportunity while we're on air live to be able to interact with me, and it is free to you. So all you need to do again is give me a buzz at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And again, all I need is your first name or initial, and of course, when I finish giving you information, you're welcome to ask a question about anyone, anything that you like. And remember, no question is a stupid question. If it's important to you, that's what counts. I came across a cute statement that I really like because I am in the state of Washington. They said, in Seattle, you haven't had enough coffee until you can thread a sewing machine while it's running. Whoa, that would be a lot of lattes. Woo! Anyway, or what do they say, triple shots of caffeine or whatever it is that they do with them. I'm not a coffee drinker, but boy, we do love our coffee here in the state of Washington. It is big, big stuff. Also, I wanted to let you know, you're hearing during the show, and this is going to be going on up until the time February when the Conscious Life Expo comes up. I want you to know I'm going to be speaking there Friday evening at 7 o'clock. That's the 13th, 14th, and 15th. The event is going on. So Friday the 13th, which is very appropriate, that's the day that I'm going to be, or the evening I'm going to be speaking at 7 o'clock. Also, I will be in booth 537. So if you are in the Los Angeles area and you are listening to this program, then just make a note on your calendar, stop on by. This is at the Los Angeles, the LAX Hilton right there. So just stop on by, say hello, and I would love to have a chance to meet you. I wanted to let you know about who's going to be coming on tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Catherine Clark, and she has a wonderful children's book called The Chickadee and the Whale, and we're going to be discussing that. It is a great story for kids. But what I liked about it is that it relates to the world as it is perceived by her and relates a story that I think is just a wonderful story. Adults enjoy it as much as kids. Then next week we're going to be talking about children and near-death experiences, how to wake up your intuition. We're going to be talking about the cup of destiny, and that's going to be about tea leaf reading. We'll be talking with a lady in England that this has been a very significant part of her life. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then shaking the globe. Yes, we're going to be talking about how we are changing in this world of ours. So we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up next week, and I invite you to tell your friends and join us because I think you'll find it very, very interesting. Again, give me a call if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Those are the toll-free numbers to call into. I wanted to share some information with you about scams. And any time there is an opportunity for someone, for whatever reason, that they want to get whatever they can get from you, trying to rip you off in one way or another. And when times get a little rough or there's a lot of negative press about everything that's going bad, it just seems like they come out of the woodwork. And as I was going through some material, I wanted to just share one item that I had come across that I thought was quite significant. One of the things that as human beings we do too frequently, if we're in real difficult times, there are what would commonly be called the Guidos of life. These are the loan sharks. That was a term that people came up with, and I remember years ago someone saying, well, if you're really in the pits, remember Guido's always out there. And of course, would the Guido type always have the money that they could give you, but it might be at 200%. And obviously you wouldn't be able to pay it back, so they'd threaten to break your legs, your hands, your head, whatever was convenient. You know, murder your family, whatever they thought might affect you. And then you were obligated to them, or they would take whatever you had from you. So there's many different demonstrations of that. But usually a lot of these scams are old scams that have just been updated to fit the time of technology that they're in. And this one I thought was pretty good because so many people today, due to the failings of many of the financial institutions that we've had throughout the country, different groups, a lot of people have lost a lot of money. So we become anxious about that and we're going to wonder, gee whiz, how can I keep what I've got safe? That's a very natural response. Well, how many of you don't have email? Not many. So many today are getting emails from the right and from the left, and they'll have all of these big sign tags on them. Don't let the financial markets collapse affect your life. Protect yourself by clicking on this link, and they'll have all of this hype. Well, if you're gullible, you're going to believe everything that's sent to you. Well, if you're a little wise, you're going to ask some questions before you do that. Now, here's one of the latest methods. Some people say it's twist on a real old scam. And what it is, when you get an email, they'll have some kind of hype in their lettering, and they may even have absolutely beautiful layouts. I mean, it may look so professional and just so absolutely wonderful. And they will say, go to, you know, click on this link, and then you go to a fake web page that'll look exactly like your bank's. And I've received a number of these, and I bet you you have too. If you log in, if they say, gee, you need to update your information, remember, there is a lot of ways for people to get in to find out about what bank you're linked to, what, you know, if you're with this group, that group, or the other group, they'll say, gee, you've got to come in and you've got to do X, Y, Z. Well, they'll tell you to log in to update your account information, and what you do when you do that, you have literally given them the keys to your account, and this identity thief can gain access to whatever you have. Now, this happened to a 24-year-old student from Gainesville, Florida. Her name was Hillary Peacock, and there were a few warning signs that she just said, oh, boy, I really think that there may be something wrong with this. And she said it came from a free email service rather than a company website. And the reply to line, she noticed, was different from the sent from line. And the subject line was blank, and the email was text only. She said it didn't have any of the fancy ads. Now, one of the things that you need to remember, if you're doing electronic banking, never log on to your bank from a link in an email, ever. What you need to remember is always go directly to your own bank link that you know is there, that you're to use, and you have to log on. And you also, if you think anybody is trying to do something with your account, you should call whatever bank or financial institution you belong to, report the incident, and forward the email to the Federal Trade Commission at this following email address. It's spam@uce.gov. Spam@uce.gov. It is amazing the tremendous, tremendous shift of one aspect of thievery to the sophistication of the technological thievery that they're employing today. So you really, really need to pay attention. You need to really realize that this is something you assume nothing. I have seen stuff come through that supposedly was from PayPal, was from eBay, and it was all fraudulent. It was not from them at all. And you will check with your bank, and they will tell you many times, we don't send out this kind of an email. So find out how you can recognize that whatever is coming from your lending institution, that it is absolutely accurate, and be sure you double-check everything before you type it in and send it out. It is very, very important. Also, something I just wanted to mention to you, we have, as you know, as I've shared with you off and on, we've been having some very interesting experiences. The word interesting can apply to a lot of things relative to computer systems. And it has been brought to my attention, and I thought I would share it with you, by a specialist in this area, that if you have an operating system that is more than 5 years of age, you need to really look at updating it. So save your pennies, your nickels, dimes, quarters, and dollars. If you really think, gee, it's too expensive for me to do, start saving your money, because there is a major, major shift by Microsoft that's going to occur by 2012, and you want to try to be as current as possible, because apparently there's so much more security and there's the sophistication that comes along with this, and you need to be aware to have your software updated as much as possible to, let's say, you know, no more than 5 years old, because a lot of people are not going to be able to use whatever it is that you send to them. Like there's printers that'll say, if you've got such and such a system, we can't take whatever you want to do because we need to have it in this kind of a format or a special format. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you today. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danion Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. By the way, I was just made aware of something. If you are in a country other than the U.S. or Canada, we now, the number I gave out to you, 888-815-9756, is a worldwide number. You can call in, chat with me, no matter where you are in the world. And so just know that that is available to you. So we have two numbers, 877-876-5227, and worldwide, 888-815-9756. So I just think that that is absolutely marvelous, and I'm thrilled that that has happened. Wanted to share a quick poem with you, Louisa Gottesart McQuillan. She said, "All signs of an evening when old Jack Frost is found wielding his winter paintbrush on mountains, field and town." Oh, winter is just spectacularly gorgeous. One of my favorite places is up in Alaska, and you will see colors of light that you would never have dreamed possible. And I think one of the most phenomenal experiences that I had many years ago when I was up in Fairbanks, Alaska, bitter cold outside, well below zero, it was like 50 below zero. And I was there, and the sunset was this array of purples, blues, and mauves that there's nothing I know that can describe it. And the snow reflected the colors of the sunset. It was just spectacular. So it really is, it's really a wonderful experience when you can see nature in that kind of a demonstration. By the way, I wanted to share something with you also. There are a lot of people that have lost their jobs. Here in the state of Washington, we have had thousands of people that have lost their jobs because of various industrial changes. And the ripple down theory is very much in effect. We've been through things like this more than once. in the time that I've lived here in the Pacific Northwest, and it's happening throughout our country. So what does this mean? It means resourcefulness. It means that we have to look at things differently. Not in the way perhaps that we did before, but as someone was telling me yesterday, they look at this time as time of opportunity. And I thought, this is a very good way of looking at it. It's so easy to get caught up in the doom and gloom, but if you are finding that you're in a situation where you've lost your job, where you're in an environment that's going to be changing, where maybe your job is going to be phased out, this is a time for you to ask yourself, where else can you be? Can you invent something? What else can you give into this experience of life? Where else could you put yourself? Do you need to relocate? Are there opportunities for you to get into different areas of industry? What can you do to bring into life new energy and new action? There is a woman that I just was, while we were on break, going through some of the information that I had in front of me. Her name is Tracy, and she was going through a foreclosure situation, was a very hard worker. She's in Texas. She was really having a tough time meeting payments. She managed to take care of her daughter. She was a single parent, and it had taken her 20 years to be able to get her own home. It was a four-bedroom, two-bath home. And then, after she gets into the home, she's working on remodeling. Like so many people have experienced to date, she lost her job. So she started doing something else. She started doing housekeeping, and she was able to get by for a while. But there came that day when she got the notice of foreclosure. They said, "We regret to inform you, foreclosure proceedings have begun," and her house was going to be put up for auction. Well, you can imagine the feeling that she had. It's a form of grief. It really is. It's a very, very difficult situation to be in. Now, what was classified as a listing for her home was house number 73. She had worked so hard for so many years to attain this home. It was as if a part of her was being put up on the auction block. Now, there was a woman at the auction who was also from Texas, and she happened to start a conversation with Tracy without realizing that it was Tracy's home. One of the homes that was up on the auction block was hers. Well, in the course of the conversation, the woman, Marilyn, found out about this. And she said there was something that started clicking in her brain. And Marilyn was listening to Tracy's story, and she began to empathize with her. And the thought crossed her mind, what if my home was taken away from me? I would want help. I would do anything and everything that I possibly could. So Marilyn started bidding on Tracy's house. Marilyn ended up bidding $30,000 for Tracy's home. And she turned to Tracy after she got the bid and got everything set up. She said, "I want you to know I have bought this home so that you can have it back." Now, Tracy was absolutely stunned. I mean, what are the odds of someone doing something like that for you? She said to Marilyn, why did you do this? And Marilyn just looked at her and said, "You know what? I think you need a friend." Now, this stranger had not known each other before the auction itself, just turned Tracy's life around. Now, this is what Marilyn did. She's a entrepreneurial person, and she took out a bank loan for half of the cost of the purchase of the home. And on the closing day, Tracy signed the papers promising to pay her whatever she could each month until she was able to get on her feet. Tracy said, "This is amazing." Tracy still has her home, and she's meeting her commitment. Now, This is some information that I have in front of me that I thought might be meaningful to you. Well, looks like we're out of time. I'll share it with you tomorrow. If you're in trouble, remember, there's always an answer somewhere. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be back here, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com, Station 1, The Donna Sebo Show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous evening, and we'll be talking again tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program.